The emotion I'm feeling right now is just, I don't know how to describe. We're looking at some verses that are, they're about salvation. It's something that happened to me 44 years ago. But like a lot of memories for older folks, it is more real to me now than it was then. The excitement of knowing the Savior is greater now than I believe any time in my life. And these verses were some of the verses that brought me to Christ. And oh my, how wonderful they are. Let's look at them. "And you, hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You so much that we have this glorious, wonderful privilege to be able to call upon You and to know that when we call that You will answer. Lord, we're so thankful today that any person in this room, by simply calling upon the Lord, might have that salvation. For You have said that if we would call in faith, we would but believe You, You extend this wondrous grace to us. Lord, make this clear in our hearts, our minds today. Spirit of God, move amongst us. Oh, if it would please You that You might come down upon us today. Oh, that You might pour Yourself upon this place. Make Yourself so appealing in every heart and life that there is not a person who could turn and walk from You. Spirit of God, only You have that ability. Work that today, we pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Thank You for standing in honor of the Word of God. I'm going to take a moment here. I'm going to address these two rows over here. Please have respect for God and His Word and the preaching of His Word. Because God's Word is that which can change lives. It is His book that can change every life. I ask for that today because I know what it did in my own heart. I know what God did those many years ago and how wonderful and beautiful it is that we can have a salvation that is given to us wholly of God. And when I say holy there, you can spell that either way, but what I'm thinking is W-H-O-L-L-Y. Completely, wholly it comes from God. I find from this text that you and I, we are certainly not those who have this naturally. In verse number 2 and 3, it's interesting. Verse 3 in the latter portion of it says, "We're by nature the children of wrath." Our very nature is that we are lost in our sin. By our very nature, we are a people who are inundated and completely controlled by our sin nature. And it is only as God is allowed to work in our life, it's only as we let Him through His Word and believing that Word that we can have that change in our lives. You say, why is that so important that we might have that nature change? Because that nature is taking us straight to hell. That nature is destroying the very life and the substance and the essence of life that is available to us here upon this earth. And so he says we're by nature. That is our old self. That is certainly what I am without Christ. My Bible tells me in Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And what that simply means is that we are conceived with a sin nature. We're like our parents. They were sinners and we're sinners. But it all goes right back to the person of Adam, and thus in Adam we are those who rebelled and turned against God. We're by nature. Out of the heart, out of that which flows from within. It says, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries and fornication and murders and all those horrible things. In that same verse, it goes on, says, we're by nature the children of wrath. And it says, even as others. I find that the human race is all in this same boat together. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have this working in us. All of us have this nature. All of us are a people who are destined to an eternity in hell. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for a verse like verse 8, which says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." By the way, Christian, look at verse 7 for a moment. Look at that beautiful verse. It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Throughout all eternity, God is going to hold His people up to the angels and to all those other created beings, to all that be throughout the magnificent universe that God has created. God has us as His trophies, as that which He brought out of the miry clay, set upon the solid rock, and gave us a hope and gave us a newness of life. Oh, thank God for salvation that comes because of the love of God. Notice verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy," "for His great love wherewith He loved us." Isn't it interesting that God loves us not because we get saved, but God loves us before we're saved. God loves us when we are unlovely. God cares for us when we're uncaring. God casts His eyes upon us and draws us near to Himself when we're saying, "No, God." And yet He loves us and cares for us. It says in verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ." Notice there, He wants to make us really alive. God doesn't want to reform us. God wants to regenerate us. God doesn't want to take you and make you new, change you and leave the same thing. God wants to make you altogether new. And thus, God doesn't call it a renewal. God calls it a regeneration, a new birth, if you please. As God brings us forth when we believe in Him. "Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." God doesn't just want to cultivate us. God wants to convert us. God wants to change our very life. By the way, Christian, it's not a matter of just getting saved by faith, but it's allowing God to change your life throughout the remainder of life. In other words, He wants to sanctify you. God wants to make you like unto Himself. And here's wonderful news. God gives to you, when you get saved, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Not just to merely indwell you, but to empower you. To give you the ability to live like God, to live a righteous life. I've heard many of God's people say, "Well, you can never live a holy life here on earth." Then why did God say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy"? Why did God give us a command that we cannot keep if He did not give us the ability to do it? Now, I've asked this question many times to this group, but I ask it again this morning. Can God live a holy life? What is the answer? Come on, folks. Shake your head. Rattle. Do something, will you, this morning? Amen. Can God live? I mean, can the Holy Spirit of God live a holy life? Why are we going to call Him holy if He can't? Now, let me ask you, who lives in you if you're saved today? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God lives in me and I yield completely to Him, in other words, then He has control, can then I live a holy life? It's not me living, it's Him doing it. Amen? That's exactly what He wants. And that's why He tells us in His Word to be filled with that Spirit. Not just allowing Him to have entrance, but allowing Him to have complete control. Romans 6 says it very well when He says, yield ourselves unto Him. And it is that we might have that holy living. Now let me ask you this. What destroys life? Three letters, starts with S, ends with N, and it has you and me right in the middle of it. It's sin, isn't it? It destroys our lives. It destroys our eternity. I mean, it's a destructive force, this thing called sin. And everything that's wrong, that goes wrong in our lives, it's a matter of sin. And there be our problem. But God wants us to have a life that is quite different from that. God wants us to have a holy life apart from sin. How can that happen? As we allow the Holy Spirit of God that kind of control and that kind of delight in our life. That is how that takes place. So He's raised us up together to what? Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is He talking about in sinful places? Not on your life. He's talking about in heavenly places where in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Then we come to these great, wonderful verses. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then out of yourselves, it is the gift of God. By the way, notice what it says, for by grace are ye saved. Some translations will say, have been saved. It doesn't say, for by grace have you been saved through faith. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is ongoing. It's present. It's not just past, but it's right now. Salvation is not something that just took place back there, but it's something that's ongoing and it's throughout eternity. And so it's are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, I'm so thankful for that because God says to me, hey, if I put my faith and trust in Him, He is the one that does the saving, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some folks say, well, preacher, if you believe in the security of the believer, you believe, hey, if you're once saved, you're always saved. Well, that gives you a license to sin. You haven't read your Bible too close because my Bible says that He saves us to righteousness, for we are what? His workmanship created. Does it say unto sin? Created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. You see, God saves us from our sin, not so we can sin some more. It's not a matter, hey, I'm going to get saved and live like the devil the rest of my life and I'm just going to have a great time. Listen, you're going to have a horrible time if you think that is the way it is. Salvation is from sin unto righteousness. God wants to change your life. It's sin that is ruining your life. And God wants to change it. He says, not of yourselves, because you and I, we can't do it. No matter how hard we try to change things, it just does not work. There are those, they will hear from their husband or their wife or their child or some person, oh, I'm going to change, I'm going to change, I'm going to change. And they finally find out after a while, it did not work. The only thing that really works is Jesus. Because you can't do it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. I want us to think about how this is all through. Salvation comes through something. It comes through faith. Through faith. Interesting, this morning Corey, as he spoke for a few minutes in Sunday school, he used the verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "For that faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God." You see, a lot of folks, they think, well, if you just believe, well, belief has to have an object. There must be something to believe in. If you're just believing and you're believing, something's not there. And so, by its very nature, this thing called faith must have something that it believes in. And if we're going to believe God, if we're going to believe God, and He says that that faith must be in Him, then we must believe what this book says. That's why it becomes so very important. That's why we honor the Word of God. That's why we thank God for the privilege that we can have it in our hands. Thank God for those who have made truth through the ages to bring this to us. Thank God for the Spirit of God who not only anointed it and inspired it, but He preserved that we might have this in our hands today. For by grace are you saved through faith. Interesting that God chose this channel whereby He might bestow upon us His grace. It's interesting that God would choose this thing of faith. Why didn't God choose works? Well, the reason's very evident because we find in verse number 9, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. When you stop and think about it, faith is the only natural receiver of a spiritual gift. It's the only natural receiver of a spiritual gift. In our world, we find there are a lot of natural receivers. A hand receives a glove. A foot receives a sock. Some of you can say amen. A mouth receives a fork. A socket will receive the bolt. In the spiritual world of the unseen, it is faith, that which cannot really be seen, is the receiver of soul salvation. Because God says, here it is. And it's not something we can receive with our hands and reach out and grab. It is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing, because it is something that God hands to us and says, here it is, you can have it. Then it is by very nature our belief that receives it. It is that which appropriates it, that which causes it to take place. It is the only thing that can naturally receive that which God has there as a gift. I believe something else is very unique about faith, and that is it, unlike any other reception you and I might give it. When you and I simply believe God, it gives to Him all of the glory. It gives to Him that which is due to Him. For if salvation was brought about because of something you and I did, as He says here, not of works, lest any man should boast, we would be saying, hey, look what I did. Sometimes we're even so brazen and say, look how much I believed. But true faith must only look at the object of who is believed. The receiver doesn't boast of its own ability. The hand is warmed and thankful for the glove. The foot is cushioned and warmed by the sock. The mouth is grateful for the food that comes into it. The socket is not applauded for the work accomplished by the tool. The receiver boasts of the ability of the giver. Consider this morning. The Apostle Paul, the only time in the Word of God that I would have some disagreement with the Word of God, the Apostle Paul said that he was the chiefest of sinners. The only thing I could say is, Paul, I am too with you the chiefest of sinners. Paul was a religious sinner. I want you to think about that for a moment. Because a lot of folks, they say, well, man, you know, I got saved from a life of drugs and I was an alcoholic and I was really deep into sin. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And what was he saved from? It was not alcoholism. It was not drunkenness. It was not drugs and all those kinds of things. It was not that. He wasn't saved from pornography. The Apostle Paul was saved from religion. He was saved from a religious life. He was saved from that which saying, hey, if you do this and do this. And Paul saying, I was doing this. I was such a good guy. And God reached down and Paul said, I'm not very good at all. And God saved him from that. And as he saw himself as the chiefest of sinners, he was one then who could bring great glory to God because he knew God had done it in its entirety. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a natural receiver of a spiritual gift. It is that which will bring glory or give glory unto the one who gives it. For it was anything that you and I do, we would be taking the credit. Oh, we like to take credit for stuff, do we not? I heard this week our president taking credit for the reduced rate of illegals coming in our country. I thought, yes, under his watch, the economy's got so bad, nobody wants to come here anymore. But we want to take credit for things that are not even credible to us. But when it comes to this matter of salvation, when we recognize it is wholly of God, there is no way that we can take credit. And we recognize this as sinners. And we finally come to the realization, hey, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can change. All I can do is fall at a merciful God and say, God, grant your grace to me. That's when God says, son, welcome to my family. I'll make you one of my children. That's being born again, by the way. That's being brought into the household of God. And he now becomes our Heavenly Father. There's something that faith does that I believe is tremendous. When you and I really believe that the only way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did on the cross of Calvary, we believe what God did for us as He died for our sins, doing that which we deserve to do ourselves throughout eternity. Oh, how it makes us cling to Him. How it makes us long to be near the one who gave us so much. The story is told about two men who were in a capsized boat. They were floating down river at a rather fast rate. There was a horrible precipice up ahead. And somebody on shore saw them coming and grabbed a rope and threw the rope. And as the rope landed right in front of them, one of them reached out and grabbed the rope. And as the rope landed, the other looked across and saw a log. And he saw that and he jumped for the log because it looked bigger and looked like it was going to float better. And you know who was? The one clinging to the rope. And the one clinging to the rope was drawn and drawn and drawn until he was standing before the person who had drawn him ashore. And as he came on shore, so thankful to one who was willing to throw out the lifeline, his immediate reaction was to throw his arms around him in thankfulness. What a beautiful picture of our Savior as He throws to you and I the lifeline, and we ever cling to Him. 44 years ago, I grabbed that lifeline. He's been pulling me closer and closer to Him. One of these days, I'm going to be pulled out of the river. I'm going to be on the shoreline. And I can put my arms around my Savior. That we might cling to Him. Amen. How wonderful He is. Through faith. Marissa, if it was through works, what would you have to do? How could you ever make up for all of your sins? I don't either. Emily, these are two nice girls. They've raised up in this church. What would you do? Couldn't do it. There's no way. Nothing you could do. You can't even make up for yesterday's. What did you do wrong yesterday? I heard. We can't, can we? No. Somebody does something really, really nice for you. What do you think? Do you hate them? No. What do you think? Do you love them? Are you thankful to them? Definitely. Grace causes us to cling. Causes us want to get closer. Now let me take a truth, Christian. Christians who are living by grace, they're living in this realm of faith. They're believing that God is going to help them from this moment to the next moment. They have yielded themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have yielded themselves to the Spirit of God. Do you know what's going on inside of them that isn't going on inside of the Christian who is saying, I can do it myself. I'm like that little 2-year-old. I can tie my own shoes, Daddy. Instead of pushing away and doing it ourselves, we are clinging to Him and growing closer. That's what God wants in our lives. But too often we're like that little child. As he's growing his independence, I mean that mom and that dad, they gave to him life, they've given him all the substance, everything that he's needed. He's not like a self. And that's why we get with God sometimes, isn't it? That's not the life of faith. It's not the life whereby we are trusting Him. And guess what happens? We're not really clinging to Him in those spots, are we? And our fellowship with Him is not what it ought to be. And our life is really subpar. For by grace are you saved. Are you saved? Not will be, not has been. It's right now. God working in our lives. Moment after moment. Through what? Because we believe Him. Can I borrow this? Mine's clear up there. I got bad feet. You can have your pencil. This yours? You didn't steal it. Good. Got your name in it? Yep. I believe this book. I, by the way, happen to believe what's on the cover. This one says, Holy Bible. Say, preacher, do you understand all this book? I read it in its entirety every 2 months. I go from one cover to the other. I study it day after day. I read books about it all the time. My life has been consumed with this book right here, and I don't understand all of it. Jerry, there's things here I don't get. But I've come to a conclusion many years ago. No matter how much it stands in opposition to what this whole mind has been taught, this is truth. I believe it. There are those who said we come from a monkey. If you say that, I might believe that you did. But I didn't. You say this old world, the scientists tell us, is millions and millions and billions of years old. I think it's somewhere between 6 and 10,000 years. Why do you believe that? Because I believe that book. What's contrary to what all those guys teach? No, you got them backwards. They're contrary to what God teaches. And so when God says something, I better believe it. And I believe this. Jesus Christ came to this world to die for your sins. Let me ask you something. Have you ever sinned? You know what sin is? Something we shouldn't do. Have you ever sinned? Yeah. You know what that means? We deserve to die and be separated from God for all of eternity. Do you have any idea what that means? Can you see me right now? The Bible says God is light. Do you realize that the place people are going who do not know God and do not want God in their life will never have light again in their life? God says the hell is eternal darkness. It's only one thing. Have you ever been someplace where it was dark? I mean, you couldn't see anything. You put your hand up like that and you couldn't see anything. I was your age when that happened to me the very first time. I was in a place in Colorado called the Cave of the Winds, and they shut the lights out. And he started talking, and pretty soon he shut up. And I thought this guy had found the way out and was leaving us. And I was one scared 14-year-old boy. Are you 14? Can you imagine hell for eternity? Being without God, just with that one thing. That's what it means. That God came to this world to die for my sins. You see, you deserve to die for your sin and go to be in a place called hell away from God for eternity. But Jesus came and died for you. Do you know that? Came and died for you. Came and died for you. For all of us. Amen. And God said, here's the deal. If you'll believe that with all your heart, it's yours. That's salvation. If you'll believe that, it's yours. Don't have to work for it. Somebody this morning said, matter of fact, I think it was Corey, he said, when I first heard that, I thought they'd be pretty stupid not to accept it. And I thought to myself, right on, Corey. Pretty stupid. So I just end this morning by saying, don't be stupid. Receive the wonderful Savior. Father, today, thank you so much that you gave us this wonderful gift. Lord, for us who've sat in this room, who've known you for years, our hearts rejoice. Lord, we, for some reason, we get excited about these kinds of thoughts more now than ever. For some reason, to hear it preached is even greater than when we first heard it. Because it's so wondrous and so much more real than ever before. We've thought about it over and over and over and over and again through the years, and it's grown in our hearts and our minds. Oh, how we thank you for that. But Father, for some in this room, it's perhaps never been. They've never really stopped and just put their trust in you. Their thoughts of being a Christian was doing this and doing that. Some even thought that all they had to do was pray, but it's really believing you. And not just in this instance, but just simply believing You completely. Knowing that whatever You have said is truth. Lord, work in hearts today. Bless, we pray. Bring some person in this room to the point of belief. Causes Your people to walk in this thing of belief. Not by sight. Oh God, today work in us. We ask it in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I'd like for you to stand to your feet, please, if you would. Emily's at the piano. She's going to start.